connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall. American
woman. Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. The alarm bells are going off. And it's time to answer the call. So much is going on. So many things to talk about. The question is, where do we begin? Where do we begin? Can I share some things with you? Can I share some quotes of our framers with you? How about this one from James Madison? Are you ready? A standing military force, not a standing army, that's different. A standing army is the one that's at your door enforcing law. A standing military force is a military force that has no recess. See, that's something that our framers never really anticipated. Having an army that was always on duty 24/7. They felt that we could raise an army when we needed to protect from invasions. The military that we have now that is engaged in so many foreign engagements is not something that our ancestors anticipated. As a matter of fact, George Washington warned against getting involved so much in foreign business. And here we have Madison saying, a standing military force with an overgrown executive will not long be safe companions to liberty. The means of defense against foreign danger have always been the instruments of tyranny at home. Among the Romans, it was perhaps a standing maxim to excite a war whenever a revolt was apprehended. Throughout Europe, the armies kept under the pretext of defending have enslaved people. I mean, is that amazing? Or what? Am I the only one that's absolutely stunned by this? I don't know. I think this is just crazy. This is just crazy. Jefferson said, scarcely have our minds been able to emerge from the astonishment into which one stroke of a parliamentary thunder has involved us before another more heavy and more alarming is fallen on us. Single acts of tyranny may be ascribed to the accidental opinion of that day, but a series of oppressions, begun at a distinguished period and pursued unalterably through every change of ministers, to plainly prove a deliberate and systematical plan of reducing us to slavery. Single acts of tyranny may be ascribed to the accidental opinion of the day, but a series of oppressions begun at a distinguished period and pursued unalterably, listen to this, through every change of ministers, to plainly prove a deliberate and systematical plan of reducing us to slaves. It is just so very sad. that we live in a day when we are taught that we are somehow more intellectually advanced than those who had the wisdom to create a nation. I think that it's absolutely amazing that we believe that we are more intellectually advanced than the people in 1641. In 1641, they identified the malignant and pernicious design, the same mechanisms that tyrants have used for centuries was identified in 1641. A malignant and pernicious design, a pattern of behavior of tyrants used to completely destroy liberty, they said. Here is the malignant and pernicious design as identified by the people in 1641. Are you ready? Because I hope you're ready for this. 1641. Corruption of the court system. Infiltration of foreign law. Diminishing property rights of the people. The government taking control of the church to enforce laws and collect taxes. Manipulation of the monetary system. And the government disarming the people while the government remained armed. They knew this was the popular mechanisms of a tyrant in 1641. Do you think we were smarter now than they were in 1641? How about 1689? In 1689, they overthrew James II. And one of the mechanisms James was using that they identified as a mechanism to completely destroy liberty, when the king was writing law, overturning law, and setting aside law. Because you see, even in 1689 they had separation of powers, and that was not an invention of our framers, that was an inheritance from their fathers. And in 1689 they said, when the executive branch is writing law, overturning law, and setting aside law, that is the complete destruction of liberty. How is it that in 1689 they were smart enough to know that executive orders are the complete destruction of liberty, and today Congress does nothing? Do you still think that we are smarter today than they were in 1689? I don't think so. I think that we've become so technologically advanced that we've become stupid. And our Supreme Court has become the very height of lunacy. I don't understand how we can have a Supreme Court justice of the caliber of Justice Antonin Scalia issue an opinion that declares the federal government supreme over the states. And in doing so, remember, Justice Scalia is the guy who's the original intent guy, who's supposed to be well-versed in the framers. And Scalia is actually giving life to our founders' fears, the fears that they identified during the ratification conventions about this election clause. Scalia actually makes their fears a reality. Ah, what is happening? What is happening? We are watching the very history that our framers fought against. The very tyrants that were defeated for 700 years to give us the greatest nation on the planet. We have put those same tyrants in office. And those same tyrants have now corrupted our court system, are pushing the infiltration of foreign law. They have inserted their agents in our churches through the mechanisms of 501c3s, infecting our pastors with idolatry and causing our pastors to no longer fear God, but to fear government. Reprobates, the lot of them. They're manipulating our monetary systems, creating fiat money. A Federal Reserve who's in charge of prosperity, who at their hand can make stock markets rise and fall. At their hand can make interest rates increase and decrease. Manipulations of the monetary system at the hands of our government. Property rights being diminished every single day. Not by law, not by Congress, but by executive fiat through executive regulations and executive agencies. We want to get upset about taxation without representation. Why are we not outraged and enraged about laws without representation? And here we are, the malignant and pernicious design, by the vow of our vice president, to disarm the people while the government remains armed.
Chris Ann Hall Show. The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
This morning, we have been engaging in a lesson on the words of the framers of this nation. And as always on the Chris Ann Hall Show, I endeavor to bring you the truth. Not my opinions, but the words of the framers themselves. So I just want to remind you again what James Madison said. A standing military force with an overgrown executive will not long be safe companions to liberty. The means of defense against foreign danger have always been the instruments of tyranny at home. Among the Romans, it was a standing maxim to excite a war whenever revolt was apprehended. Throughout all Europe, the armies kept up under the pretext of defending have enslaved the people. Thomas Jefferson, warning us. Scarcely have our minds been able to emerge from the astonishment into which one stroke of a parliamentary thunder has involved us before another more heavy and more alarming is fallen on us. He's saying, look, we can't even keep up. Our heads are spinning. One right after another. Single acts of tyranny may be ascribed to the accidental opinion of the day, but a series of oppressions begun at a distinguished period and pursued unalterably through every change of ministers. To plainly prove a deliberate and systematical plan of reducing us to slavery. I have often said, much to my own to the criticism from others, that Barack Obama would not be able to do what he has done if George Bush had not first done what he'd done. And how many presidents before him, increasing the house of the executive, diminishing the role of Congress, and denying the representation of the people. This is the design against republics. And we have now this immorality has infected our Supreme Court. Remember, Justice Scalia himself telling the states that they can have no election laws unless they go to the federal government first. You can create, you can suggest to the federal government what forms you'd like to use. But if they deny you or they refuse you, then you simply have to appeal to the federal government again through lawsuit. Can I remind you? This is not a single act. Can I remind you that in March of this year, March 28th to be exact, Barack Obama issued an executive order called the Establishment of the Presidential Commission of Election Administrations. Do you know what this does? What this election commission will do? 9 members appointed by the president who will be experienced in the administration of state and local elections. As well as representatives of successful customer service-oriented businesses, right? Who is that a description of? Acorn. The president has created an election commission who will be designed exactly for the people like Acorn and Organizing for America. And what will be their purpose? To dictate state and local elections. They will dictate the number, location, management, operation, and design of polling places. They will dictate the training, recruitment, and number of poll workers. They will dictate voting accessibility for uniformed and overseas voters. They will dictate the efficient management of voter rolls and poll books, voting machines, ballots, voter accessibility for, they will dictate voting accessibility for citizens with limited English proficiency. This is what Scalia has done. Worked in conjunction with an executive order that puts the executive branch over your state and local elections. And where does that put you? I was born for this, and some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, cause she filled me with love and the strength to leave. She said,
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Here we are. Bringing in the framers to educate so that we don't have to fall into the same traps that they fell into for generations. How is it that we can declare ourselves so intellectually advanced, so much smarter than the men and women who created this nation, so much smarter that we can declare that they are irrelevant because they're dead, and we're so much smarter because we're here and we have the internet. Well, we're not smarter. We've become more ignorant. The dumbing down of America through the denial of our history is causing us to fall into the very same traps that our framers fought to protect us from. And now we have a case where a man is being prosecuted in California for writing messages on sidewalks in chalk and is facing 13 years in jail. Now, if that's not an atrocity in and of itself, 13 years in jail for writing on the sidewalk in chalk, what about the fact that the judge has barred his attorney from mentioning freedom of speech in any way, shape, or form during the trial? How many of our kids have written on sidewalks in chalk? Well, this is what Jeff Olson did. Jeff Olson was just scribbling on the ground slogans like "Stop Big Banks," "StopBankBlight.com." And he was arrested. Why? Because the bank said it cost $6,000 to clean up the chalk writing. Seriously. It must never rain in that part of California, because then it would have been washed away for free. Is that how much it costs? Maybe in California, because they have so many environmental regulations, in order to clean the chalk writing off of the sidewalk, maybe they had to only use bottled water, right? With protective gear on, and they had to call in a hazmat team. They had to get a permit from the Environmental Protection Agency to wash the chalk off the sidewalk using imported bottled water collected in a environmentally friendly way. The man wrote on the sidewalk in chalk. The same chalk that we used to write on the sidewalk to create hopscotch boards and draw pictures And now he's facing 13 years in jail and cannot even mention free speech, free expression, the right to redress of grievances, or political speech in any way, shape, or form during the trial. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Malignant and pernicious design. Do you know what led to the glorious revolution of 1688? James II had arrested 7 ministers for protesting the king and his agencies. You don't think the banks are an agency of the government? Please. Charged with the crime of seditious libel. Seditious libel, James II said, makes it against the law to disagree with the king. And guess what? Even though you get your day in court, seditious libel was created in such a way that truth is no defense. No free speech. No free expression. No right to redress the government of your grievances. Hey, let me mention to you something really quick here. Our right to petition the government was not invented in 1787. It was codified by the people in 1215. Clause 61 of the Magna Carta gave the right of the people to complain about their government. We didn't invent that. And in 1689, that was the right of the people. And in 2013, that is still the right of the people. A sidewalk does not belong to the bank. A sidewalk is a public thoroughfare. He was not standing in front of the bank door with a picketing sign inhibiting people from coming in and out of the bank. He was not interfering with the ingress and egress of the bank. He simply wrote his message on a public forum and then left. If that sidewalk was damaged, the bank would not fix it. The bank would be screaming to the taxpayers to pay for that. That's why the Supreme Court has held over and over and over again that sidewalks are a public forum. Held that way forever. A necessary mechanism for the survival of the freedom of expression. And yet, Jeff Olson could spend 13 years in jail for writing "Stop Big Banks" in chalk on the sidewalk. Where have we come? Where have we gone? And where will we go? That's the question that we have to answer. Where are we going to go from here? Do we allow these types of usurpations and bullying of our rights? Or do we finally make a stand? do we protest regardless of the consequences? Because it's our right to do so. We must stand behind people like Olson, who are willing to take a stand. Because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take people willing to make a stand. How does history reflect upon Rosa Parks? Rosa Parks stood against an unconstitutional law. Do we say that Rosa Parks should have just complied until they could change it, change that law through Congress? She should have just gone about her business. The sheriff was justified in enforcing the law. Or we recognize her as a hero of civil rights because she did the right thing, because it was the right thing. When are we going to understand that we are living in an age where the government is spying on journalists, intimidating journalists, where the government is spying on you and me? When our senators on both sides of the fence can testify that the NSA is providing inaccurate and misleading information about this massive surveillance operation on our own people. When are we going to see some real action from our Congress? No more dog and pony shows. Disarm, defund, and dissolve these agencies now.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Well, here we find ourselves in the last segment of the morning once again. May I remind you, please, to go to my website, chrisannhall.com, chrisannehall.com. There are articles that I have written, over 180 of them, that show you exactly what the framers of this nation intended and how we can avoid repeating their history. But if we don't listen to their words, and if we don't heed them, we are going to find ourselves in the same place. I am amazed. I'm just absolutely stunned at the things that we can acknowledge and the things that we can do in the name of politics. I want to share with you the words of the framers of our nation. James Madison said, "The definition of the right of suffrage is very justly regarded as a fundamental article of republican government. It was incumbent on the convention and therefore to define and establish this right in the Constitution. To have it left open for the occasional regulation of the Congress would have been improper. And now you have an executive order buttressed by the Supreme Court of the United States that allows the President of the United States to establish a 9-member commission created of people who are experienced in the administration of state and local elections, experienced in customer service-oriented businesses, and any other individuals with knowledge or experience determined by whom? Determined by the president to be of value to the commission. Do you think I'm going to be of value to the commission? Do you think the leaders from True the Vote are going to be of value to the commission in the eyes of the president? We are talking about ACORN. We are talking about Organizing for America. We are talking about all of these groups that Obama has put together, and they will now be given authority with the sacred blessing of Justice Scalia to dictate to the states through executive fiat the number, location, management, and operation of, and design of polling places, the training, recruitment, and number of poll workers, voting accessibility for uniformed and overseas voters. Do you know what this means? I just want to mention to you. This is not only establishing more of these protections, it could also be defined as establishing less. Because now the Supreme Court has said that the federal government doesn't need to get involved with state elections. Doesn't that somehow seem contradictory for Scalia to say that the states must submit to the federal government in order to have the proper ballots and the proper voting qualifications? And then to turn around in the very same sessions and overturn parts of the voter registration? How does that not contradict each other? Well, it doesn't. It works hand in hand. Because what you see is the Supreme Court eliminating the representation through Congress, but empowering the executive branch through the form of regulation. The elimination of representation as a form of lawmaking in favor of executive agency fiat through regulation. That's what's happened here. The Voter Registration Act was Congress, through the representation of the people, creating law through the representation of the people. And now we have the Supreme Court overturning law that should be overturned by Congress. And in the same breath, upholding executive regulation that creates the same effect as law without representation. So now the president is going to be in charge of your state and local elections. And Congress has been made irrelevant and impotent to do anything about it. What about these mechanisms that Jefferson warned us about? A series of oppressions begun at a distinguished period and pursued unalterably through every change of ministers. It's a systematical plan of reducing us to slavery. So do you call yourself a slave or a free man? That's the decision that you need to make. See you tomorrow.
Have you made funeral prearrangements but are now having second thoughts about the funeral home?